sexual decadence, the end of man, huh. Demonic influence, addictions, hellbound defiance, biblical prophecy. That's what it's all about this week. Shadow the Darkness live broadcast beginning on a Monday night, June the 6th, 2011, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. May God help us. May God's grace, mercy, his kindness bring to us. Well, as it says in James 5, that mercy triumphs over judgment. Finishing the sequence of this week last night, putting up materials today, PDF file notes, an overview of this entire week. It's on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, www.shatterthedarkness.net. This is Russ Dizdar, and we want to welcome all those by satellite, all those by internet radio, and all those by the thousands worldwide by the downloading of the archives. Going to ask that God visit us this week with great grace, great mercy. Today, as I began to work on this material, on the news, all of a sudden, New York Democratic representative, Mr. Weiner, shows up. Massive news today. He's there to proclaim his sexual indiscretions, his Twittering, his naked photos, his lying about somebody hacking his Twitter account, his all that he's been doing. And so he confesses it to his wife. He confesses it to a, can I say, hungry mob of media. Now listen, I kind of watch this. I'm going over the notes tonight, and I'm watching this special release, a live confession of the representative out of New York about his, what he said was his shame, what he's ashamed of, what he's embarrassed about, what he tried to lie about, his apologies to his wife and everybody else. And though he apologized, and though he brought forth tears, and though he did all of this, I watched the media as they kept asking every kind of question. They tried to nail him on every single aspect of this. They tried to dig into it all the further. They had no shame in just ripping open this issue and going into it as far as they could. But what I noticed, in light of what I was writing down on the paper for today, for you, John's Gospel, a woman caught in adultery, the men drag her over, she's on the ground, they're going to stone her with stones and kill her, grinding her into the, you know, to the ground, her blood soaked into the ground, she's going to be destroyed. She did it, yes, adultery. I was astounded. Because in the story, the religious Pharisees, the condemners of the day, those who had no mercy, those who had only judgment, severity, their only answer, take stones and wipe out the sinner. What a contrast. There they are. There's religion. Take stones and wipe out the sinner. There's Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. Forgive the sinner, free the sinner, release the sinner, wash the sinner. Make them no longer a sinner. The media just ripping into the representative today, not one word of forgiveness, not one word of hope. You can have a new life. Not one. Well, we're talking about sexual decadence and the end of man. We're talking about this week on Shadow the Darkness. Listen, the website, if you haven't been there, www.shatterthedarkness.net. Right down the center column, that's where we have all the information. That's where we put down Monday through Friday all the things that we're going to do. And we've got on that front page a listing of, the PDF file study notes, if you want those as an outline to go through as we work through this day by day this week. Monday night we're dealing with, here's the title, The Destruction of the Gift of God. That's what we're dealing with tonight. And I want to say it again, sexual decadence and the end of man. We have a course that was up, a training course, a conference-like material, about 15, 16, 17 hours. Somewhere it got broken or busted. I don't know what occurred to it. So we found about 14 of the hours and re-uploaded them, and it seemed like they were working. But I found out today, somebody wrote me, that only some of those links are working. So to the old course, we will fix those links, and then at the end of it all, we're going to add these five more one-hour sessions to that entire course. We pray. We pray that it's not going to be the landing of stones on human flesh. We pray instead, as Jesus wrote in the sand, you can be forgiven, you can be freed, you can be washed, you can have a new life. Now, I don't know what he wrote in the sand that day, but I know one thing. He stopped dead legalistic religion in its tracks. Thud to the ground goes the stones. He who has not sinned among you, cast the first stone. He wiped out Pharisaical condemnation religion with one swoop. I'll tell you how he dealt with the woman towards the end. Tonight, sexual decadence, the end of man. We're going to talk about this week the demonic influence, the addictions, the hell-bound defiance that's coming. Biblical prophecy for what was this gift of God. Now, this is what I wrote on the site, if you're listening by satellite. Quote, what was or is meant to be a great pleasure and holds the power of procreation can and has become an exploitive trade of dark perversion. What God has created as good has been misused, degraded, and even become a doorway to transfer demonic presence. Well, sex is good, should be good, but it can become a hell-bound addiction that degrades human beings and enslaves a person to a life of empty shame. I continue to quote, sex sells, really now, who gets the profits? Who loses, and how does this gift of God get turned into a hell-bound dark perversion? The exploitation of human sexuality can grant to some millions, mansions, and decadence, all of which walks on the backs of those who have been or are subjugated to horror and shame and pain. Tonight, the destruction of this gift of God. Just before that, a couple announcements quickly. Well, just one anyway. Let me just mention one thing here tonight. Got a number of emails in from last week's broadcasts, and all I can tell you is, I'm grateful for the kindness, and I want those dear new friends in Montana and other places, I want you to know that I'm just a sinner forgiven. That's all I know. And I only hope in Christ to do good. And I do know him, and I have experienced his grace and his power and has seen his hand in these, well, about 37 years. All I can care about is you on the other side of this broadcast mic. Knowing and feeling the presence and the power and the grace of God from this side, I'm not always sure by the tens of thousands of you and by the tens of thousands in 90 countries that download. I can only pray that those who are lost can be saved in Christ. That God stretch out his hand, because I believe he does extraordinary things. May his power fall in healing and deliverance, setting you free and returning captives. I'm going to read a partial email. I will never bring out the name of anybody. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I don't want anybody to think that I have any way. But this is so incredible because last week in the middle of the broadcast, there's times I just simply close my eyes as I go on and on and on. Because I can, again, feel the presence, the Spirit of God. And there's times that it's as if I can sense you, see you, as God is ministering to you. And so I spoke to the one that hot tears were running down their face in the midst of the broadcast. So I got a note here from a friend. Prayers are up for this friend. Blessing and strength and might in Christ to you. Says this, last week on your June 3rd show, you stated that you felt that you needed to preach because as believers, were listening with hot tears. Well, I don't know if it applied to anyone else, but it applied to me. I listened to the show today, Monday the 6th, and was totally blown away by what God spoke through you 4 days ago. The words you gave were an answer to my prayers, and believe me, my face was hot with tears. I have been wandering as a believer, defeated by the devil, tired, wounded, and making excuses. I want you to know that your message has led me to repent and surrender to the Lord. And I am determined to grow as a believer and be a faithful servant of God. And he goes on and on and on. And so I say in the sight of God, where there is no barrier of place, localities, and time, bless, empower, and fall with great grace on this man who has emailed me. On those listening right now, and here's what I've realized over these 3 years, that someone can listen to something in Switzerland, in Brazil, in South Africa, in Russia, wherever in all the world, it could be a year old, but I've learned that God's word and the message, as the Spirit of God leads, has its power and grace and effect so that a man in Portugal can get saved, so that those in China, and let me just say to the Red Guard, let me say to the old Psy warriors in Russia, let me say to those that recon the show, you're out in open field listening. You're not in danger. You're open to the possibility of incredible grace and mercy falling on your life. And that's all I can care about this week. That we who are just sinners. By the way, I got a book coming out. Second one. Simply called Once Blind. Shortly, and then the one on prayer, and then the one on seeing into the future. Literally, they're just messages literally going to be put in this form. I know folks have been asking for it. Once blind, but now I see. Today we're talking about the destruction of the gift of God when it comes to sexuality. If you've got the study notes, this is how it begins. This is how it begins. This was the gift of God. That's what it was. You know, I tell the story from years ago. I had had a truck that was in a car accident. Somebody hit me from behind. After it was all done and said, we took that truck and traded it in. And for the first time in my life, I was able to buy, this was a brand new Ford F-150 extended cab step side. 4x4, because we needed it for backwoods and shatters work and things that we did backwoods in our investigation, in our hunting down things. I was so pleased because you know how it is when you have to negotiate and go through all the stuff to, you know, so I get this truck home, and I had been out the night before and had the day in. I just got back from California leading my father to Christ and being able to baptize my mother at the church she was going to. So I came back from an incredible adventure out in California. Almost the day, very next day morning, I had to be in this car sales place and drove out with this truck, came home, parked in the driveway, went downstairs in my study, and went on the couch and fell asleep. Guess what happened? My wife got into her car in the garage. She had no idea that I had parked a brand new big old truck out there. Did she back into it? Yes, she did. Right into the side of it. And she couldn't believe it. She thought I would just be blown away. You know, things happen in life. Can I tell you something? That truck, once brand new and spotless, all of a sudden was dented. And it really wasn't that much. And it was something that I just overlooked. I want you to hear something when I say, when it comes to the fall of the human race, it's not as though we were just slightly dented. Something so deep, so broad, so wide occurred that you and I right now do not have the memory. I know what it was yesterday. I have memory of yesterday. I have memory of this morning. earlier this day, I'm out in the five miles out in the woods doing my trek through the mountain biking trail on foot. I have memory of that. Everything that I saw, trying to avoid the poison oak and poison ivy along the way. I don't have memory of Genesis 2. I don't have memory of when it was like that perfection, living in that eternal body, unaffected by sin, corruption, and all the rest. All I know is, as we read, I mean, there's that which we wish life could be like. We wish things could be. I mean, the law of God is imprinted in us. Take a read of Romans chapter 2. So this original, though, constitution, no guilt, no shame, no pain, and there wouldn't have been any sexual decadence. You see, in the beginning, without question, as God says, it is good, it is good. Notice as you read chapter 1, chapter 2, it's not a scientific treatise. It's just simply a declaration of God creating and the personal aspect of God's declaration that it's good. And then the creation of man, very good. And then the realization, man, Adam was without a partner. Wasn't good. Wasn't complete. And so there's a big emphasis on the fact that God then creates from Adam the woman, in which when he saw her, wow, man, as some would say, he saw her, and in emotional explosion, he begins to talk about Eve. They had the power to procreate. See, God in the beginning creates this thing we call sex. God knows more about it than anybody else. And I'm telling you again, more than anybody else, God knows what it is. God knows what it's for. God knows the pleasure principle. God knows the arousal issue. God knows the attraction. God knows how it all works. God created it for good. Don't let anybody tell you, fool you, you know, play any other game. God intended it for good. Two specific things. Listen, pleasure, procreation. Pleasure and procreation. I mean, it can be fun, it can be great, it can be pleasurable, it's loving, it's from the Hebrew word, when Adam knew his wife, yada, the most intimate, I mean, an intimate knowing, sexual relationship. And from this can come life, from this can come the birth of another human being. From this, if you're a parent, and you know what it was like, I knew what it was like to be in there when my little baby daughter was born. They finally had to do the C-section. I think it was 17 hours of labor pains and all that in the hospital. And they had to do the C-section. I watched all of it. Amazing. And then they pulled out a little girl. I literally yelled at the top of my lungs, "It's a girl." I yelled. Scared all the doctors and everybody else. They all laughed. They all looked at my daughter and touched and put her over, and after they did everything they did, they instantly gave me my daughter. It was astounding. So out of what is meant to be pleasurable can also come life. And so you and I must understand the original creation, the original intent, the original purpose, and there is just no question about it. It is to be pleasurable. It is to be fun. It is to be relational. It is to be between that man and that woman, that husband and that wife. It is to be, you know, enjoyed, but it also has the power to help bring about another life. Could you imagine that it's out of great pleasure and great love comes the possibility of conception. A human spirit being born right there, traducianism, right there in the womb. As life begins at that moment and then grows in the womb. Yeah, I used to put my hand on my wife's belly. Used to pray for my little daughter. Used to talk to her while she was in the womb. My wife used to sing to her. Today, on this 6th of June, about 15 minutes before going live, my daughter, that same little baby, that daughter, now going to be 21 this year, comes walking in the side with her little Apple computer. She likes Macs above PCs. I got a PC. It's about that. Is amazing. You're listening right now because at one point in your human existence, there was a conception. At that concurrent moment, human spirit, your human spirit, inseparably connected to the physical life, and that human spirit giving the life behind the physicality, behind that little teeny tiny body that's going to be developed. So let me begin by saying that it's amazing, that it's astounding, that it's to the glory of God, and that we should stand in saying that this is the gift of God, this is from God, so was life, so was the gift of human life, so was the gift of living eternally, seeing God, walking with God, being innocent, being free, being perfect, being sinless, until, obviously, until something occurred. Now, you and I know, and we have it on our notes right here, this is the next point. This has become the arena for sin, shame, and pain. Now, sexuality, like all the other areas of our life as a human being, can be damaged even worse, can be torn apart, can be exploited, can be used and abused, can be, all kinds of things can happen with it. All things, all kinds of things. You see, it's all about the heart. It's all about the corruption. It's all about what's occurred to us. Now, you heard me last week talk about the sin nature, Romans 8. This, at the moment of the fall of the human race, the Spirit of God leaves us. Our spirit goes dead to God. And another nature, a abnormal, like we've been injected. Oh, yes, it infects everything. It's involved in procreation since the fall of the human race. There is a sarx, a nature. Hostile to God, doesn't want to submit to God, can't, enabled. All because of opening the door, chucking God, and embracing a false god. And I want to ask you tonight, as you're listening, some will listen to this just because of the subject title. Some will grab a hold of it just because of the subject title. But I would say that by the providence of God, we are here to hear about some truth and some warning and God's protective grace. Corrupted, yes. You ever read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down? Have you ever read where it's like looking at the spiraling down of the human race? It's like looking at once we have suppressed the truth by our wickedness, once we've exchanged the glory of God for created things and exchanged the truth of God for a lie, it seems as though we have the potential to spiral down and become darker in all that we think and in all that we do. Our thinking gets dark. Our practices gets dark. What we do, we change the natural use of what God intended. So we take the life that God has given in the beginning, and now that sin nature is there, and we have the potential of becoming as bad as Charles Manson. We have the potential of doing everything possibly wrong. I mean, there's those that will go out and rape. There are those who are child predators. There are those that steal girls and boys for human trafficking that makes the perpetrators millions of dollars. There's drug trafficking, and now drug lords are learning that human trafficking can also bring them dollars. It's an amazing thing what man can do against man. It's amazing what a human being can do to another human being. Sell them. Use them. What a family member can do to another. what a priest can do, what anybody can do. It's not about what position in life. Doesn't matter where you've come from. Maybe you're listening, you've been abused. Maybe this is going to open up some wounds, some of those toxic memories that have been pushed way down inside of you that you don't want to really bring up. I want you to know that God is in the secret place. I want you to know the story of the woman in the Gospel of John that was caught in adultery. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, it was destructive. Yes, it messes up families. Yes, it messes up lives. Yes, it does a lot of things. And they, when a woman or a man goes from one to the next to the next to the next to the next, you can talk about the results, you can talk about the disease, you can talk about the abortions and the killing of children, you can talk about it all. You can talk about the destruction of the misuse of this gift. But we just keep destroying ourselves, don't we? We just keep hurting ourselves. We have no idea sometimes the damage that is done, the neglect, the pain. We make choices. We get burnt deeply. But I can't leave out the story of the woman there, thrown down, ready to be stoned, angry, hot, religious men. I mean, just hot with anger, hot with wanting to bring condemnation. They had the stones right in their hands. Real story. In between this godless, pharisaical, legalistic, condemning religion, and the woman that actually sinned and screwed up and messed up and did all the rest, is Jesus Christ. In the midst of this week, in all that is said, I want you to keep seeing who's in the middle of all this. God in human flesh, a Savior, knows it all. See, God created this. He knows the intent, the good, but he also knows that's what we were meant to be in total in the beginning. We were supposed to die and rot and turn into ash 6 feet under. We were meant to stab each other, cuss each other out, destroy each other with words. There's so many things we do. I don't know if you've read Titus chapter 3 lately. About literally in life how we do damage one another. We get damaged and we damage one another. So in the midst of this, on the one side, there are those that are screaming at all kinds of sexual things and, they, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and, you know, we'll look at Genesis 6, we'll look at Israel, and we'll look at a lot of things this week. But in the context of all of the sin and the shame and the pain and the abuse and the and it leading to just addictions that can turn into total bondage, that can alter a life so deep, so broad, so embraced personally that a person can be defiantly hellbound. On your notes, we have Genesis 6. The bottom of the barrel, that's humanity there in Genesis 6, the bottom of the barrel, man. There's humanity wants to bear the image of God, wants to bear the likeness to God, wants to walk with God, see God, walk in majesty, eternal beings. Now, a few thousand years later, we come to Genesis 6, and all of a sudden, here's humanity. God is. You see the expression of God about even the creation of man. Do you see the pain in the heart of God? Mankind is so totally filled with evil in his thinking, in his thoughts, in his doing, in his actions. And the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. You know, the B'nai Elohim, they came down. Fallen angels came down. They grabbed hold of the women. And when I read a lot of the extra biblical literature, let me tell you something. It wasn't always just rape. Regardless of the extra biblical literature, the biblical literature tells us this, that sexual union between demonic fallen angels engaging women, that created Nephilim. No question about it, they were hybrids. No question about it, genetically altered. They are never considered human, never. And this involved the transmuting of the human race. How much of the human race was left? How much was actually human? I mean, there's Noah and his generations and pure humans. There are some left. But the decadence, the sin mixed with the satanic agenda, and we have almost the wiping out of humanity. As a matter of fact, the flood is an act of God to save what was left of humanity. That's what the flood was all about. The flood was an act of God in saving what was left of pure humanity. Go to the genealogy of Jesus in the Gospels. Yes, his human, pure human bloodline goes all the way back through Noah to Adam, but doesn't touch anything Nephilim. The flood is all about saving humanity for ultimate salvation in the end. It involves the eventual birth of Israel, the proclamation of God's visitation, Messiah, and then we come to the Gospels. Now, you can go back to the Old Testament if you want to. You can take a look at, evil, radical evil, sin, and all of its development and all that occurred and all of the demons worshipped and embraced in the earliest of times. You can see the sexual, just the absolute decadence, ruin. Oh, you better believe it involved ancient sexual rituals. You better believe the demons, what they desire today and in the future, they've always desired, and the dirtying of the human conscience and leading humanity into deeper and broader sin so they can have a door, so they can get in, so they can have a place. Point D in the notes tonight. Ultimately, when it comes to sexual decadence and the end of man, this series, let me tell you very clearly that yes, in our personal lives, we can grieve the Spirit of God if we are believers. We can hurt things in our own lives. We can really be messed up in what we choose sometimes, and when we're lonely or when we've been rejected or just so we can get somebody, we're willing to do anything. You know, when we're not centered in Christ, filled with the love of God and the significance of what God is in our lives, if we're not standing up and yield to the Spirit of the Lord, you're either going to yield to the flesh or you're going to yield to the Spirit of God. One leads to destruction, one leads to life. Life free. Yeah, there's stoners out there. The stoners always want to drag the sinners, and throw them on the ground. And they want to pick up the stones. That's the answer that man-made, self-exalting righteousness will do. Jesus blasts out of the water the self-righteous, fake religion. You look back again in the Old Testament, you're going to see Israel again and again and again. You're going to find Israel that God is trying to purify a people, lead a people into relationship, and build a people and house his prophecies and unleash his glory and let them know what is coming, Messiah is coming. But again and again around them, there are nations embracing the demons, embracing perverted and decadent sexuality. Listen, the seduction is there. Just ask Samson. Samson and Delilah. You know, she wanted to do anything. She was willing to do anything, use herself in any way. And the stupid thing is that Samson, the powerful warrior, man of God, with the power of God on him, ultimately came down to it. He sold himself out. What about David? David ever sell himself out? Did he ever see Bathsheba? Did he ever desire her? Did he ever bring her over? Did he ever commit an act of adultery? Did he ever have the husband killed and try to cover it up? as if the representative today and other situations that have occurred in the public are any different. You see, the hungry mob out there, the hungry mob, they have stones in their hands. They can't wait to stone you. They can't wait to absolutely take you in all your shame and all your pain and all your disgrace and all of your emptiness. You know, sexual sin doesn't. I mean, you can say, well, I'll sin for a season. It'll be fun for a season. It'll be fun for the moment. Ultimately, down the road, every sin has its price. Every sin has its pain. Every sin has its emptiness. And deeper into darkness, lostness, we go. Who's going to help us? The stoners? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God in human flesh stood between the woman on the ground that sinned in shame. There she is. She's guilty. It's all there. And the stoners. There's an old song that calls the cross the wood between the worlds. The wood between the worlds. The old rugged cross, the wood between the worlds. I mean, there's a vast difference. There really is. On one side of the fence, you can stay in your sin, you can stay in your shame, you can stay in your decadence, you can stay embracing Satan, you can stay embracing, you can just go ahead and light your cigar with $100 bills, live in decadence, live in and off the backs of others. You can live like that all you want. You ever read about the rich man in the Gospels? Payday someday, my friend. You live like that and you use people like that and you manipulate everything like that and you exploit the gift of God using others for your gain? To hell with you. Therefore, the grace of God go all of us. Therefore, the grace of God goes all of us. So whether you look into the Old Testament and see the possibilities of even the people of God, you can come to the New Testament. You can listen. You know your life. You know your life. You know whether you know the living Christ and the Spirit of God is in you and you're able to walk in that freedom and in God's presence and power. You know the difference. You're listening. Maybe you're from that dark side, south of heaven. Yeah, right. You get all the sex, right? You do all the sex rituals, right? It's like Crowleyan. It's like Alistair, whether it's Alistair, whether it's Anton, it don't make any difference. We'll talk this week about how all occultism seems to be connected to deviant, perverted, decadent sexuality that has a sense, a flavor of defiance to God. We'll take this and use it the way we want to. Yeah? Or it's the way that the demons want. It's the way that Satan wants this gift of God corrupted. Do they know something about it being a doorway to their access in a life and through a life? Do the demons dance when sinners sin deeply? Is it possible to let the sun go down, not just on anger, but on habitual lusts? In sexual decadence? Is it possible that that gives a doorway to the enemy? You better believe it right now. And let me tell you what's coming. Let me tell you what's coming in the destruction of the gift of God. Listen, the dark side knows how to pervert everything. Sin in its spiraling down and the degrading of humanity to where you really can't even see the glimmer of the image of God, the likeness to God. You can't see it any longer. Sin's covered it up so deep. We've been so twisted, so marred, so transmuted. Satan knows that's all he needs to do. Get David to sin. Get David to step over the line, because sin brings a grieving of the Spirit of God. Sin brings the possibility of judgment. Sin brings, you know, separation. The enemy knows this. That's why there's a constant. Listen, have we forgotten something? He's called the tempter. A tempter. He can operate through some lady on the street, some man on the street. Listen, today, it doesn't make any difference any longer. It could be a man, it could be a woman. In Delphi, Corinth, they had both men and women prostitutes. I mean, anything could be done for money. I mean, listen, there are those that may listen to this by God's providence that have been willing and have sold their bodies out for any and every kind of use just for money. I could ask the question tonight, how many regret things they have done? How many wish they wouldn't have? How many thought, wow, this seems so tantalizing, so pleasing, but afterwards, emptiness, shame, dirty, filthy, and you aren't even loved. You just realize you've been used. Again and again and again, this is what happens. You know, kids sext one another with their telephones. You know, human trafficking in the world. Could you imagine human trafficking? The abduction of a boy or a girl who are put through the little rat line that's been created and carted off to another country. There, they're going to be used. They're going to be displayed. Films will be made. Pictures will be made. Bids for their life. Some of them are slaves for years and years and years by the elite, as they are sexually, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way abused. You know, you look at the world that we live in right now. If you think all you want to do is make it a little bit better and live here forever, well, don't count me in. The world and its desires, this fallen world system and all of its pain. See, a lot of us, we don't like to look at underneath the carpet. We don't like to look at the blood and guts of what has been, what is, and specifically what is about to come. You know what's about to come? Let me tell you this right now. The Spirit of God reveals two specific things, and I think on the bottom of your notes it says, point A, the satanic plot to dirty the conscience and the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, do you remember reading about the secret power of lawlessness? The apocalypse anthroposonomos, the apocalypse, the unveiling of the man of lawlessness. And that in accordance with Satan's work, all kinds of counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. He'll be doing those, but that's not all Satan in supernatural operating form will do. He will also, listen, it goes on to say, and this is directly a result from Satan himself, that is polluting the world with spiritual confusion, spiritual alternative, masquerading as if things were coming from God, stealing lives of literally now billions. Then it goes on to say, look what the Word of God predicted in the context of this and in every sort of evil. The word that involves even sexual sin, decadence. Satan's job in the end of days, every sort of moral evil, because moral evil darkens human conscience. It literally twists the mind. You can read about it again in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. The thinking becomes futile. The understanding becomes darkened. And humanity's moral practices become more acceptable, more applaudable by deep, dark sin. There's where Satan has doorways. There's where the demons can begin to breathe down your neck and begin to attach and begin to come in to consistent, decadent moral sin. Do you know the deep, long bloodline Satanists, a lot of the rituals that are created involve acts that are in massive, it's a massive opposition to God. Sexual acts in sexual rituals that are so, you're talking necrophilia, bestiality, everything you can think of. Obviously, these perpetrators have no problem sexually abusing children, babies, all the way up. When there's 40 million SRAs in the world, or as some estimate, twice as many, four generations. What does a three-year-old do when they're being sexually abused? What do they know? Well, how do they configure that in their heads? But when you add to that the ritual abuse, the satanic abuse, the transmission of demonic presence for the purpose of deepening it all, you know how many times they've gone through sexual rituals? You know how many times that human trafficking slaves, sex slaves are used again and again and again on a daily basis? And there's just, listen, there's just simply decadent cows out there. That's all, just decadent animalistic sexual behavior. Club Med, hedonistic, you know, want to be with everybody. That's how it is, you know, down in the inner city. That's how it is in the suburban area, you know. Just mark more notches on your belt. Just do all the girls. Just do all the guys. Just do the stuff, but not everything, but some of the stuff. And everybody falls into the game knowing that it brings guilt. I mean, it's like the girl that came years and years and years ago. I'm working in youth ministry, and you know, the crowd clears out of the room. One young lady says, "I need to talk to you a minute," and starts to cry instantly, looks at me and says, "Can I become a virgin again?" And she began to tell me that it just happened. Her boyfriend and her, she didn't really plan on it. It just happened. Well, what really occurred was they were thinking about it. They'd gone so far. They planned that when mom and dad was away, they'd get to the house. They would be downstairs. They'd be by themselves. Listen, your pants coming off doesn't just happen. Has everything to do with the human will. Oh, I know temptation's there. Arousal, what do you do with it? There's something in the book of Thessalonians that talks about sexual passion. Doesn't say negate it. Doesn't say deny it. It just says simply, use it in a way that is holy to God. You ever read that? God doesn't say deny sexual passion. It's a part of our lives. It's intended to be a part of our lives. Listen to me, a part, but not the centrality. A big sacred part, a big part of pleasure and relationship. Now, I know some right now are going to say, listen, I know I'm ruined. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all been ruined, my friend. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. We've all screwed up. We've all spit in the face of God. We've all embraced the fallen cherub, even if we don't want to admit it. But there's a woman thrown to the ground. She's an adulteress, dirty. Who wants to touch her? Who wants to touch her? Who wants to marry the prostitute? Who wants to marry, I don't want to use the words, the slang. But what about the guys that are nothing more than users and abusers for their own lusts? Is there nobody that wants the purity and power and pleasure and the rightness of what God has laid out? Anybody want the freedom? Anybody want to know they are clean? that they have empowerment, that they don't have to go back to any kind of stinking, corrupted, shame-filled, filth-filled life that constantly weighs you down. Anybody want out of that? Before I go there, I just want to mention to you the book of Revelation. I want to mention to you when you're reading chapters 14 through up to 16 and on, you're going to read a couple of times where simply this is the future. It hasn't yet occurred. The Antichrist has not made the unveiling, the apocalypse. There's no multinational chaos, catastrophic collapse yet. There's no Antichrist and regime yet. It is coming. It is going to happen, yes. But when you get midway through the tribulation, the Hathalipsis, the Hamagali, the tribulation, when you get on that side of the fence, and then all of a sudden the judgments of God targeting the beast kingdom begin to fall, there are times in which there seems to be a moment of offering, a moment of calling to repentance, but here's what the scripture records: in the future, on a global scale, they still refuse to repent. And look at the top of the list. It involves sexual, decadent, perverted, addictive, committed, willed sin. It's inseparable in that link to pharmakeion, sorcery, and the drug and the demons. It's as though worship of demons, demons and drugs, and the perverted exploitation, self-gratification. There are some very arrogant gays out there. There are some very, arrogant hedonists out there. There are very arrogant when it comes to some of the other forms. It's as if sin and Satan takes those who are willing to go deeper and deeper to say, let's misuse this gift. Let's tear it to pieces. Let's just chew it up, tear it to pieces, use it every way we possibly can, get all the self-gratification we can out of it, make all the money we can out of it, do all that we can, and then discard those who have been used and abused. And all the while, Satan doesn't give a darn about your hell-bound life. Not one darn about your hell-bound life. The demons love it. They love you. Just lapping into the sin. They really do. So the adulteress is out there. She gets caught. She gets dragged off. What's the other wife? You know, what's the wife think? I mean, she's the adulteress. I mean, you know, well, sex before marriage. Isn't that okay? Shouldn't we practice this? Shouldn't we do this? Really? In a day of all the diseases? Have I ever had anybody come to me and say, you know what, I had a lot of sex before I got married, and I really, really liked it? I always find regret. I always find confessions of regret, not because we've asked for it, because there are those who've had the guilt inside for so long, they wanted to confess it. You can either hold on to your sins, keep it inside of you. You can lay it down in the sand where Jesus was writing. There's only one individual that cares about the sin issue, the shame issue. He's not there to out you, not to put you in front of media, not to take stones and destroy you. Satan's a condemner. Satan is a condemner, leading people into sin, and I believe having just satanic glee when the guilt, the separation, and darkness comes into the conscience and the heart. He knows how, sin knows how. There's the sinfulness of sin, the idea of the hardness of sin. Sin can make a person just absolutely decadent, arrogant, cold. There might be someone listening who says, I'll never repent. That's on you, my friend, because the same Savior that wrote in the sand, that looked to the goofball religious condemners that carried stones, that's the only thing they knew. That's the only thing they knew to take care of what they thought was You know, and you see what Jesus did? He blew them out of the water. He really did. He absolutely just totaled them. The one among you who have not sinned, cast the first stone. The one among you who has not sinned, cast the first stone. The wisdom. If they had wigs, they just fell out. If they had false teeth, they just fell to the ground. Can you hear the thud of the stones hitting the sand? Oh, they didn't throw them. Their guilt-laden heart, their hypocrisy. In their hypocrisy, they've been outed. They dropped the stones. They turned around and walked away. Jesus says to the woman who did sin, who did mess it all up, who did bring dirt into her own life, where are your accusers? Jesus brings willfully total forgiveness. There, right where you are. You don't have to go before the media. You don't have to go to a room, a little room, where a man in a box is waiting for you to tell it all. Tell it to Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. I'm undone. I have done things. I have done things I wish I have never done. Jesus, would you forgive me? Would you wash me? Would you cleanse me? Would you save me and be my Savior right now? He will right now in your life. Come in and change your life. You can be born again of the Spirit of God, cleansed totally, given a new life. Believers listening right now, you know where you've grieved the Spirit of God, where you've regretted. And although we always worry about the people with the stones in their hands, Jesus can take care of them. You look at Jesus, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, purify us from all unrighteousness. Homologos, confession because it's true. Jesus Christ, wash me, cleanse me. I surrender my life for everything about my life to be an example of the gift of God. We're at the end of the hour. May grace and mercy fall upon your life. Jesus said to the woman, go. Don't do it anymore. Don't do it anymore. You're free. This is Russ Dizdar, Shadow of the Darkness.net. Hey, remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. God bless you.